that historic force, the horse.
Tarantara, tarantara.
I most heartily endorse.
Tarantara.
For without him there would be.
Tarantara, tarantara.
Nothing to our history.
Tarantara.
If you check, you'll surely find.
Tarantara, tarantara.
In the annals of mankind.
Tarantara.
That a statue should be raised in every pasture where he's grazed to that historic horse, the horse.
Of course, tarantara, 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 tarantara.
In the pages of the past, you'll find an everlasting tribute to that source of force, of course, the horse. Pegasus was my original name. I've called Ben-Hur faster than any in Rome. I was the horse that Lancelot sat on while crusading far from home. And when Paul Revere said, "Get up!" which one of us do you think said that the British were a-coming?
Nobody yet but Mr. Ed.
Now in 1815, there at Waterloo, I said, "Napo, boy, it looks as though you're through." And in spite of other claims, why, it was me and Jesse James and General Custer who fought the Sioux.
The horse, of course, we must endorse. Historic horse, of course, the horse, of course, we must endorse. Historic horse, of course, the horse. Sound the trumpet loud and clear, shout it from the chandelier. Historic horse, of course, the horse. He's so trapped eternally on the path of history. We must endorse, of course, the horse. Historic horse, of course, the horse. The horse, the horse, the horse, the horse, the horse. The horse.
Thank you, thank you. That was very nice of you, and it's true that I have been around for a long time. There have been other incidents too numerous to mention, so I'll just mention a few. When King Richard III cried, "My horse, my horse, my kingdom for a horse," you know who he was talking about, don't you? I wound up with my own kingdom for a short time, but people then were very odd about talking horses. I knew Davy Crockett, Daniel Boone, that is, Buffalo Bill and Seabiscuit. He got me into the Kentucky Derby once, but I was disqualified for talking back to the judges. Now, what else would you like to know about me, the real me? Do you know what makes me tick? You know, of course, my eyes are set at the side of my head. This enables me to see a wide area, and also means that I seldom see an object with both eyes at the same time. I can actually see an entirely different picture with each eye. Because my eyes are where they are, I can't see the end of my nose, and if it weren't for those long, stiff hairs on my chin to tell me how close I am to my stall or oat box, I'd be bumping my head all day. I also have a third eyelid, which quickly wipes my eyeball if anything should get on it. And, by the way, who do you think invented the first fly swatter? The horse, of course. My mane and my tail are ideally suited for that purpose. And now that we've gone through people sense, horse sense, and a little nonsense, here are five other senses that are most important.
It takes an ear to hear with, to capture every sound.
A rustling tree, sweet poetry, a Christmas carol round.
It takes a nose to smell with,
mine's won me many a race.
Besides, what else would look right in the middle of your face? It takes two eyes to see with, two eyes you cannot spare. It makes good sense to treat them with the very best of care.
It takes a tongue to taste with, think of peanut butter spread. You'd miss it eating sandwiches, you'd only taste the bread.
It takes a hand to touch with, you may not think it much, but you would be completely lost without your sense of touch.
Remember, man is the only animal with a thumb and four fingers. Here's an experiment for you to perform. You have two noses. Take your second and third fingers of your right hand, counting your thumb as your first finger, cross them, rub the tip of your nose with them. There. Doesn't that feel like you've got two noses? How does this happen? Well, if you rub your nose with your two fingers in the usual position, you'll feel only one nose.
the sensory nerve on the left side of the tip of the middle finger and that on the right side of the tip of your second finger create in your brain the sensation of one nose. But by crossing the fingers, the impressions of the left side of the top of the second finger and the right side of the middle finger are combined. This combination is so unusual for us that we accept these two sensations separately. And so we feel two noses instead of one. Now let's use your senses sensibly. Take an apple, any apple. Peel it. It's smooth and feels good. See it. It's so red and looks good. Smell it. It smells fresh and smells good. Eat it. It tastes sweet and tastes good. Hear it. When you bite into it, it sounds good. You use all your senses just eating an apple. If you covered your nose when you bite into the apple sure tastes flat. We'll try it. Take a bite out of the apple with your nose closed. It doesn't taste the same, does it? That's the reason food has very little taste when you have a cold. Your sense of smell is very important in eating. Why, when I have a cold, my oats taste like sawdust. I'll bet when a termite has a cold, his sawdust tastes like oats. I'll bet. Next time you hear the word apple, even before you see it, you know it tastes good and your brain remembers from the last time. So the next thing you think of is, where can I get the money to buy it?
That sounds like a sound is a sound thing to say, because whatever you hear today, whether little sounds or big sounds, they're there for you to hear.
So just listen to the sounds I found for you. Our world is full of sounds. Whether you live in the city or in the country, you hear sounds all day long. Not a minute goes by without your hearing sounds. We are going to imitate some of these sounds. Why don't you imitate them along with us? All the noises are so different that you recognize most of them immediately without seeing who or what causes them. That's a rooster, you'd say.
Meow.
And that's a cat. That's a boat whistle. And of course, that's a fire engine. You find some sounds irritating, like a dentist's drill. Of course, there are sounds which are very pleasant, like the singing of birds. Or a girl with a beautiful voice.
La, 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 la.
That's the sound of a man walking. Running. We will now end on this note. That's a note on the piano. And those were my singers. Hey, it's okay to say it, kids. Hay's for horses, you know. Here's a good experiment with sound. Put your ear a foot away from Daddy's watch. You can just about hear it. Now put the watch on a wooden table and put your ear to the table a foot away. The watch sounds much louder, doesn't it? That's because sound travels better through wood than through air. With all of this information, plus the right amount of money, you can take a bus ride. I'm very educational, in an odd sort of way. You raised your hand, young man? Do you want to leave the studio? No? Oh, you want to know why?
Why does popcorn pop, do you suppose? And why do raindrops drop? Why is the blue sky blue?
Oh, I know why, do you?
Why is ocean water salty? And why is there sand on the beach?
Why do malted milks taste malty?
And why do teachers have to teach?
Why does wind blow to and fro? And why is it warm in the sun? Why is the blue sky blue?
Oh, I know why, do you?
Why do baseballs curve? And why do you shiver when you're cold?
Why do zebras have stripes?
Just listen close and you'll be told.
Why does wind blow to and fro? And why is it warm in the sun? Why is the blue sky blue? Oh, I know why. Know why, do you?
Why do raindrops drop? Raindrops come from clouds which are full of water. They're cold and heavy, so when they meet air around them that's warmer and therefore lighter, they fall. That's all. Why is the sky blue? The sky gets its blue color from the sun. The light from the sun is a mixture of all the colors of the rainbow. But when we see the blue sky, what we're actually seeing is the blue light rays of the sun reflected by zillions of tiny invisible dust particles in the air. Why is ocean water salty? There's a lot of salt to be found in soil, rock, and in the earth. When the ocean waves pound the shore, they collect all this salt. This has been going on for millions of years. That's why the ocean's so salty. Why does the wind blow? Wind is just air that's moving, and it's the difference in temperatures that makes the air move. Hot air is thinner and lighter than cold air, so when this heavy cold air meets the light hot air, the cold air pushes it out of its way, and you feel a little breeze or wind begin to blow. Why is it warm in the sun? It's warm in the sun because the sun gives us our heat, and heat piles up. That's why it's hotter in the summer. The sun is out for 15 hours in the summer and only 9 hours in the winter. Why does a baseball curve? Well, actually, a baseball doesn't curve. The ball spins round as it's going toward the batter, and it whirls air along with it. This whirling makes the air press a little harder on one side than the other, causing an optical illusion so that the batter thinks the ball is curving away from him. And all the time, it's just the batter's eyes that are doing the fooling. You see?
The sea, the sea, the sea, the sea.
There's something fishy about it.
The sea, the sea, the sea, the sea.
What would fishes do without it?
The sea, the sea, the sea, the sea.
Let's see what we shall see.
We'll find out some fish have wings.
Let's see about the sea.
There are some species of fish that fly. These fish have fins that are modified as gliding wings. With these wings extended, they can soar for great distances over the surface of the water. Some fish have been known to fly almost a quarter of a mile this way. They are fast, but the fastest fish in the sea is the sailfish. He swims about 70 miles an hour, or 30 miles an hour faster than the fastest ocean liner afloat.
The sea, the sea, the sea, the sea.
There's something fishy about it.
It's full of sharks and fish that bark.
Never, ever doubt it.
Fish do talk, even though we don't understand them. Some fish called croakers make barking sounds. Other fishes, as detected by special microphones placed in their domain, make rasping, grunting, squeaking, or squealing noises when talking to each other. There's even a catfish which can make a mew sound. Also, did you know the number of sharks in the Gulf of Mexico increases by 1 million every day? And it's the only animal in the world that never sleeps or rests. I wouldn't go swimming in the Gulf of Mexico without a platoon of Navy frogmen.
The sea, the sea, the sea, the sea.
Let's see what else we see.
Talk about whales, as many a tale
to tell about the sea.
A whale is not a fish, as many people think. It's a mammal, but it does live in the water. Whales are the largest animals that ever lived on Earth. They are bigger than dinosaurs, even. Some grow to a size of nearly 100 tons, and some measure more than 100 feet long. In addition to the sea, our Earth has another important ingredient, air. The air contains the oxygen which we breathe, and air has a lot to do with our weather. For example, hot air means hot weather, and cold air means cold weather. There's a lot more to it, of course. So, singers,
now all together let us talk about the weather. Will it be hot or cold today? What does the weatherman say? Oh, will it be cloudy? Or will the sun say howdy? What should we wear? Will it be fair? What should we do? Can we have an outing? Or will the clouds be spouting?
It looks as though the wind will blow.
What should we do?
The hottest temperature ever recorded in the shade anywhere in the world took place at San Luis, Mexico in 1933. The temperature in the shade on August 11th was 136 4/10 degrees Fahrenheit. The coldest temperature ever recorded at Vostok, Antarctica on August 24th, 1960, and it was 126 and 9 tenths degrees below zero. Did you know you can tell air temperature by a cricket's chirp? All you do is count the number of cricket chirps in a 14-second period, then add 40. The total will equal the air temperature to within 1 degree 3 times out of 4. Now, how about a weather experiment we can try? Here's a simple one. Anybody can make fog by going over to a cold window pane and breathing on it. At this point, I'd like to teach you something very important, how to count backwards. I received this very important information when I was living in my launching stall, pardon me, pad, at Cape Canaveral. We climb aboard a spaceship and take off to outer space. We're leaving good old Mother Earth for some far distant place. What will we find beyond the blue? What's on the other side? Let's settle back and just relax, and we'll enjoy the ride.
Now gravity is gone, and though we are confined, let's see what's out in outer space, gravity left behind.
The sun, the moon, and stars, they're out in full array. Let's see if we can name them as we ride on the Milky Way.
Let's take a look around now and see what's out there.
The biggest star that we can see is our old friend Mr. Sun. It gives us light and gives us heat, it's really number one.
Without it shining down on us, there'd be no life today.
So thank your lucky stars, we're only a sunbeam's length away.
The moon that sails across the sky and brightens up the night
is nothing more than a star, the Earth's for satellite.
The shooting stars are meteors that burn up in the air. A comet whirls around the sun
with a tail that looks like a flare. And now if we assign the planets to a line and count them as they go round the sun, we'll find their number 9.
The first is Mercury, and Venus is number 2. Then Earth
and Mars with its big red glow come gliding into view. Oh, Jupiter is 5, then Saturn rolls on by.
Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto end the march across the sky. So if you want to be an astronaut renowned, just come aboard with us and we'll
start the old countdown.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast!
Wait, I'm still in the rocket. I don't want to go. I'm not a monkey. But how do I know if someone up there...